Mini episode 306 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 306. It's football season again, and that means that I, Rick Morris, am back with my guy, FDH Lounge dignitary and Vegas handicapping legend Kyle Ross, to break it all down for you. A full slate of games here. Kyle, a tough week one across the board, I think, in the betting industry last week, but ready to come back at him this week. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I love the Vegas, how I've become a Vegas handicapping legend, and hopefully not just in my own mind. I don't know I did well last season, but we do have some making up to do after week one. We both went 1-2, if I'm not mistaken. I know I did. I'd like to point out that both losses I took, my team was leading and covering at the half, only to no-show the second half, and they will ironically play each other this week. So, a ton of stuff this week. I'm ready. I really like this week's card, and you know me. Once you have some stuff to, you know, go off of, you know, it's not just conjecture in the off season. It really makes it, you know, for me a lot easier. So I'm ready to go.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you saying 1-2. I was 0-3 also, so 0-1 on my lock. 6-9-1 overall, and that was rallying like a mofo to put up that number because I don't think I hit a single 1 o'clock game.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I know Houston was the one in question, and I forgot that they, you know, that one got bet up.
I missed on that one. Yeah, and you were 1-2
right.
On yours, 2-3 overall. But we always tell you just to play your core plays here. You volunteer some plays outside of that, but those are the ones people should go for. Where you were 61% verified last year on the show. Check the tapes, ladies and gentlemen. He had that at a 61% rate. Last year, and again, that just shows after a 1-2 opener how much better things are going to be if people jump on board now. So
exactly, that's what I wanted to do. Yes. Get my week two from the end of the season package right now.
That's what, yeah, exactly. It's very highly valued. As we always say every week, the Thursday game, we're not going to have this up in time, so people will be hearing this after the fact. New England weighing 11.5 at home against the Jets. My pick up on Twitter, but again, it's too late for people to hear this. I'm going with New England in this one. I think it's a bounce-back game for them, and I think the Jets, after coming off an undeserved victory, there's going to be a little bit of a letdown.
I'm going to lay off just because the number. The Patriots, obviously, a lot of injury concerns. It was bad enough that Brady lost one of his top six pass catchers from a season ago, you know, due to a variety of circumstances that we don't have the time to go into on this podcast. But now he loses two of his top three from last week. I will completely agree with you when you use the term undeserved win for the Jets. It was completely undeserved. You know, you had Geno Smith acting like he was Joe Namath after Super Bowl III. You know, hold on, young fella. The losses are going to start to pile up for the Jets. They will lose this game, but, you know, as much as the Patriots love to beat up the Jets, I don't know if they're going to have the horses to cover this number, even at home. So I'm staying off
well,
this one entirely. Just no interest.
That's going to be really tough. The first game on the board we're going to take a look at today, Baltimore at home laying a touchdown to the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore, again, this is going to be a situation here, and we were joking about this off here. This came very close to being one of my plays for this week. Baltimore's just going to want to murder somebody this week. Reference intended there, I guess. But, coming off of what happened to them the Thursday night opener against Denver, and we saw what the Browns are still made of this year under a new regime. I'm loving Baltimore covering the 7. I hate to say that as a Brownie fan.
These are the two teams I lost with last week. Both led at the half, but they lost under different circumstances. Cleveland was just inept. Even though they were winning at the half, they didn't look good. You know, I was talking to some friends Ricky, just real quick here, I'll make this. The problem with the Browns is not the sheer amount of regime changes they've made through the years. It's they're not made quick enough, believe it or not. And, I mean, certainly, you know, we're only one game into the Rob Chudzinski era, but I can tell you this, Brandon Whedon's not going to work out. He stinks. And
yeah.
I'm with you. Baltimore's certainly going to want to bounce back. They look pretty good for a half. I mean, I thought they looked real good going to the half. I went up, took a shower, came back, and Peyton Manning had thrown about 18 touchdowns during that time. Now, I do take some long showers, but still, you know, they looked at least had a semblance of an NFL team. They should. I'm not going to want to lay the point. It's going to. They usually do dominate Cleveland. Hold, you know, Cleveland. I think over the last 3 or 4 years, they have not beaten Baltimore, and they usually don't score many points. But I'm a little leery of laying the number with the Ravens, so I'll stay off. But the Ravens should win the game.
I'll be taking an unexpected cold shower if the Browns end up winning this one here. But I don't see
for sure
that ends up happening. The team that let me down last week as far as one of my locks went, or it was my lock pick, it was the Monday Nighter, Houston and San Diego. Houston's playing Tennessee this week. They're hosting them. They're laying 9.5. Number started at 8.5. And looking at this one here, again, and I had very little respect for Tennessee coming into the season, and I understand that a good part of it is that the Pittsburgh offense, especially run game, sucks. But the way that defense played, could be a letdown scenario coming off the Pittsburgh win. I'm sure they're going to lose. I think they may backdoor this one. I'll take the 9.5 in the Titans.
Just to go back, I actually gave the Browns too much credit. They've lost 10 straight times to the Ravens, if my calculations are correct here. 10 straight times, so that's no fun. Here's another division rivalry that's been pretty one-sided. Houston's covered all four games the last 2 years. They swept the series last year. The only loss they've had to the Titans the last 2 years. I believe they rested their starters in a regular season finale 2 years ago. So they definitely had Tennessee's numbers. They've owned the division during that time. But you talk about a backdoor. I just think this one's going to be close throughout. This is my first of four recommended plays this week. I'm going to take the Titans with the points. I realize this is a team that I did not have a lot of regard for before the season, but, you know, and Pittsburgh has its own set of issues, which we'll get into later. But that was a really good defensive performance, the Titans. I was stunned. To me, that was the most shocking, I mean, who knows, there's probably something else that was equally, but it was certainly up there for most shocking development of week one with how well Tennessee's defense played. Houston on a short week here, too. That doesn't help up a later-than-usual Monday night game. And, you know, they did, you know, if you look at inside the stats, they actually dominated the total yardage against San Diego. But, you know, after such a big comeback, short week here, I think Tennessee's a little bit better than even I gave them credit for coming into the year. And they're going to be able to hang with them, take the points.
So we agree on that one. Take the points with the Titans. Not one of my recommended
plays.
I'm
making that my first before recommended too. I really think that's too big of a number.
All right. Clip and save 9.5 for the Titans. Next up here, Miami at Indianapolis. Colts are laying the courtesy 3 points at home in this one. A little bit of a letdown for the Colts as far as how they won that game last week. Expected to just brutalize the Raiders, and they had to squeak by. Miami, conversely, looking much better than a lot of people might have thought on the road week one at Cleveland. Again, a lot of that probably had to do with the Browns' suckitude. But I'm looking at this one here again. Teams look to be going in opposite directions after week one, even though they're both 1-0. I'll take the Colts in a, it's going to sound strange to say, a comeback off of the performance of last week. They still beat the Raiders, but probably that's just because they are the Raiders. I think they're going to look better in this one. I'll take them to cover on the 3 points at home against Miami.
I'm laying off this one, and I got to say, is there any more win indicative of the Andrew Luck era in Indy than last week against the Raiders? Of course they won close. That's what they do. They beat a lot of bad teams at home. I mean, I was almost just chuckling how the game developed. It seems that they're now 12-5 in the regular season, pardon me, with Luck at the helm. And it seems like almost all 12 wins have just kind of come at the end, and they've had to hold off. I mean, the Raiders had a chance to win that game. So I'm not about to lay points in Indianapolis, even though I think Miami's maybe a little bit overrated. You know, I don't think they didn't really impress me or wow me against Cleveland. Cleveland, as you said, was just that bad. So I'm laying off this game. Just no desire to lay points with Indy generally, because when they do win, it's typically close. So I could see that happening here. I could see them winning by the three that the odds makers are calling for. So I'm staying off this one. Very leery of the Colts laying points.
Could happen. We had a game land on the number last week with Chicago and Cincinnati. That field goal at home came into play and could again this week here to 3-point spread. Next up, a real blah kind of matchup in my book. Two teams I really don't see making the playoffs. Neither one of them won week one, although they both hung close. It's the Panthers at the Bills in this one. Carolina, a rare road favorite. You won't see them doing that too often this year. They're laying 3 up from 2.5 at the outset. Buffalo did get a better-than-expected start out of E.J. Manuel last week. Really gave a heck of a scare to the Patriots. I'll take them largely because they're at home. That could be faulty reasoning. That's why I took the Browns over the Dolphins last week, two teams I didn't much believe in. So I figured, okay, home team, that'll be my tiebreaker. Kind of the same logic here, even though it's real weak sauce. I'll take the Bills in the 3 at home.
This is another one that I'm just staying away from. And here's the thing. Buffalo, I mean, obviously the Lions makers, you talk about Carolina, a rare road favorite. The Lions makers have obviously very little regard for Buffalo, even with the cover last week. I mean, I know they played New England, but, you know, they were a 10-point home dog in week one. That is certainly an ominous sign for the rest of your season. Here's the issue with Carolina, though. They are the opposite of Indianapolis in the Ron Rivera, Cam Newton era. They always lose close games. I mean, their record under Rivera in close games, I wish I had it. I meant to write it out. It is awful. I mean, it is beyond bad. And therefore, I don't want to lay points with them, particularly on the road. Last week was another one possession loss, 12-7, to Seattle at home. And this is an important game for both teams. I'd just like to point out, because I looked at the schedule here, and whoever loses this game is going to be in a hole. Carolina's got the Giants, granted, at home next week, but the Giants did really beat them up on a Thursday night, and they have back-to-back road games with Arizona and Minnesota. And then the Bills, well, they have the road game against the Jets. After that, it's a tour through the AFC North. So, you know, whoever loses this game is going to be in an early season hole. And, I mean, I don't see either team making the playoffs either. But, you know, I can't pick one over the other, particularly with Carolina laying points. They're the better team, but not a team I would trust as a road favorite.
I can understand that. It seems very dubious to me that they would be a road favorite. Next up here, it is St. Louis at Atlanta. The Falcons are laying a touchdown at the Georgia Dome. That's been the pretty consistent number all week long. On the call on this one for Fox, four-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa, roaming the sidelines for some reason. But in looking at this one, again, just got a feeling on this one that Atlanta's going to win, but that's going to be a backdoor for the Rams. The fact that Daryl Richardson's a little bit banged up does kind of ding my confidence in that prediction just a little bit here, because I think they're going to need him healthy and scampering around a lot like Darren Sproles did last week to loosen up the Falcons' defense. But the Falcons, again, a team that has a lot to prove to me defensively, although I picked them to win this division. This will be kind of a test for them. I don't see them covering the full 7, although I clearly see them winning.
Yeah, you know what's funny? This almost made my top 4 recommendations for the week, Ricky. You want to hear a stat. Atlanta under Mike Smith and, you know, subsequently Matt Ryan at quarterback as well, they came to the team at the same time, 21-3 straight up off a loss, 18-5 against the number. I believe there was a push in there because those numbers don't add up to the same amount of games. So, and they're at home. You know, it was a tough spot for them last week. Obviously, New Orleans was kind of my favorite play last week. You know, Sean Payton's return to the Superdome. It was a tough spot for the Falcons, but I'm not as high on the Rams as you are and some others are. Fisher is 11-3 as a dog, as the coach of the Rams. So that's kind of, I think, why I didn't make my top 4. But I would lay the 7, actually, with Atlanta here. I think they bounce back at home.
Interesting. And that's, I didn't know the 11-3 number about Fisher, But there are things that you just kind of intuit for some reason, and you don't exactly know why. What you're saying about Fisher's record as a dog there, it does kind of ring a bell with me a little bit. That might be why in my subconscious it was kind of screaming Rams at me. But all right, so we're going to differ on this one. We'll see if we do on the next. I have a feeling we're going to because of the way that the hook has gone in this one here. It's Washington at Green Bay. The Packers are laying 7.5 at home, up from 7 initially. And Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call on this one for Fox. So this is Fox's A game Sunday, and a very good one at 1 o'clock Eastern time here at Lambeau. I like the Packers in this one. I think they're going to regroup off of what we saw last week against San Francisco. Their defense against the Niners, not great at all, but a step up from what it was in the playoffs when Kaepernick just completely emasculated them. So I think they're making progress against the read option, the pistol, and some of the more gimmicky type offenses. RG3 still on a bum twig, as we saw Monday night. I expect Green Bay to roll over them by more than the 7.5.
I'm laying off. It's funny, when I looked at the schedule, and I saw these teams are playing. It was Monday night when I noticed it. Green Bay had already lost to San Francisco, as you mentioned, and then Washington was, of course, in the midst of losing to Philadelphia. I was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to, you know, two teams looking to bounce back. Green Bay's at home. I'm really going to like them. But this number's just too high. You talk about the hook, you know. Green Bay will win. I'm just too leery about it. Washington definitely appears to be in the more trouble, too. Robert Griffin did not look right. Do not be fooled by that score last week against Philadelphia. It was not that close. Philadelphia completely dominated that game, made Washington look very bad. You know, Washington looks like a team that may regress even a bit further than I thought, quite frankly. Green Bay is kind of in a comfortable place. You and I may disagree on this, but to me, you know, while they might have been better against the read option, the 49ers didn't run it a lot either. Kaepernick just chose to pass it. To me, Green Bay kind of fits neatly in the NFC pecking order behind your Seattle and San Francisco. They're just not built to beat those two teams. San Francisco in particular, they've lost to them 3 times in the last 2 years now, in the last, well, year basically. So Green Bay is who they are, same spot. They'll probably win the NFC North. But Washington, I'd be very worried. Mike Shanahan in the first half had the look of a man who was wanting to know when it was time to retire. So the Packers will win, but I'm leery about laying the point.
Well, the sell-by date on Mike Shanahan was a decade ago, so I could answer that question for him then and there.
Yeah, Griffin does not look right, I'm telling you. Washington, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I don't want to make too big of a deal out of one loss, but I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Well, in our next game, there's a team involved that certainly hopes you're right about RG3 and that he's not going to be a threat this year. That would be the Dallas Cowboys. They are on the road this week at Kansas City. The Chiefs are laying the courtesy 3 points at home here, up from 1 initially. So the oddsmakers initially didn't have this slated as two teams that would be even on a neutral field, but the perception has caught up to that. Because of the way that the booking, the betting pattern has gone here, I'm inclined to go with the Chiefs. It was my sense in looking at this here that the smart money was what was betting it up to the 3. So for that reason alone, and what you've taught me about trying to perceive what the smart money's doing anyways, I'm going to go with the Chiefs laying the 3 against Dallas.
You know, I got to say, I was surprised. I know the number only opened at 1, but I was surprised that, A, the Chiefs opened as the slight favorite, and then, B, the money moved in their direction. I mean, it just shows that no one really cares that this team was 2-14 last year, and they really shouldn't. I mean, they're going to be much improved. I think they're a playoff team, and I'm not alone in that assertion. You know, I mean, obviously Andy Reid, major upgraded coach over Romeo Crennel, Alex Smith, major upgraded quarterback over the Matt Castle, Brady Quinn duo. He's going to limit the turnovers, which was a major issue for this team last year. I'm just not sure yet what to make of either of these teams based off last week. Dallas should have won because the Giants turned the ball over about 87 times. And this is, quite frankly, the fact that the game was as close as it was not a good sign if you're a Cowboys fan. And the Chiefs, they were dominant, but they were dominant against Jacksonville, who had the hideous Blaine Gabbert under center. So there's only so much stock you can put into that. I'd like to wait, take a wait-and-see approach with both of these teams. You know, I'll tell you what, though, the NFL Network has got to be licking its chops. Kansas City, if they win here, there's a chance that next Thursday night it could be 2-0 Chiefs at 2-0 Eagles, Andy Reid's return to Philadelphia. So, you know, I don't know if Rich Eisen is going to take a crowbar to the side of Tony Romo's ribs or what, but, you know, I'm just leery. This is another game I just have to lay off of because, like I said, I'm not sure what to make of either team's Week 1 victory yet.
Well, in the words of the great Gordon Solie, discretion is the better part of valor, so I'm sure he would
yes.
be your
and by the way, Monty Kiffin's defense getting too much credit for the 6 turnovers. They gave up about 450 yards passing, so I'm not sold on this Dallas defense either, by the way.
Yeah, the very epitome of bend but don't break in that one. Very easy to make too much of it. In our next game, Minnesota has their second consecutive NFC North matchup. In this one, they are at Chicago. The Bears are laying 6.5 up from 6 at the open. Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely Tandora Oakman on the call for Fox. This is one, and looking at this again, Blake's coming off the divisional loss last week. Bears coming off the narrow win and certainly a little bit lucky at home against the Bengals. I'm going to pick both teams to stay unblemished and blemished respectively in looking at them here. I think the Bears are not only going to win, I think they're going to cover the 6.5. I think that they may have a little bit up to go from what they showed last week against the Bengals. In my opinion, a much softer opponent this week in Minnesota, a team that was very, very one-dimensional with the great running game with AP and very little else. I like the Bears in this one, maybe not even nearly as close as the 6.5.
You know, you make a really compelling case. This didn't make my top 4 recommendations, but I would not be surprised if the Bears dominate either. You know, that was a pretty impressive win they had over Cincinnati last week. Did not allow a sack. That's a really big thing to keep an eye on because this offensive line, as you know, Rick, has had its fair share of issues. The Vikings, as far as they go, a team that both you and I feel will regress severely in 2013, opening up, like you said, back-to-back division road games. I think the oddsmakers are telling you, too, they expect the Vikings to regress. You know, the number was bet up to about, 6 last week with the Lions, and then it just opened there here with the Bears. Lost in Adrian Peterson's touchdown last week. You know, he started the game and everyone was going crazy about, you know, can AP do it again? The rest of the game, he had like 15 yards rushing on 17 carries. Minnesota will never win a game if that happens. I mean, they have no chance. I mean, again, we talked about it in our preview that if your whole game plan is based around, hey, our star running back is going to once again have one of the 5 best years in the history of the position, that's a dicey proposition to hold on to. And I definitely like the Bears to win this game. It didn't make my cut. I'm not really sure if I want to lay the points, but I wouldn't fault you if I did. I certainly would not take a point with Minnesota, I'll tell you that much. You know, Christian Ponder, 28 interceptions in 28 career starts, and we know how this Bears defense loves to force turnovers.
Yeah, hey, Purple folks, I got 4 words for you. 8 in the box. That's what they're going to be looking at until they get some semblance of the passing game. No question about that. A team that we just referenced as far as beating Minnesota last week, the Detroit Lions, they are going on the road to Arizona. They're weighing 2.5 up from a pick'em at the opener. And similar to my reasoning with Kansas City, because of the way that the money moved on this one and what looks to be the smart money, I think I would have concurred with that anyways. I would definitely like the Lions over the Cardinals, who I consider to be one of the most marginal teams in the NFC, if not the most at this point in time. They had a respectable showing last week against the Rams. That was one of the few that I got right. I expected that they would cover, and they did. I just think that Detroit, if they come in, with all the pieces moving, this offense is really something. We saw in the preseason, that game against the Browns in particular, when they didn't have Reggie Bush, how bad they can be. But when you got Reggie Bush out there and Megatron and some of the other guys, all look for Brandon Pettigrew on a fantasy level to have a pretty good week, I just think Arizona's going to have a hard time matching up.
Yeah, and another mismatch is along the line here. Detroit's defensive line should be able to dominate a very bad Arizona offensive line. I'm not sure what to make of Carson Palmer. You know, he's an obvious upgrade over what the Cardinals have had under center ever since Kurt Warner, but and he looked good last week. I mean, he put up some good numbers. Larry Fitzgerald had a nice game, but it wasn't enough. And, you know, at one point Arizona was winning that game, I think 24-13 in St. Louis. I'll say this, though. I just can't – Detroit historically bad as a road favorite. There was a long stretch where they never were a road favorite. You know, it didn't start occurring until 2 years ago, the resurrection here under Jim Schwartz. But here's the thing. Arizona really needs this game because up next for them at New Orleans, at Tampa Bay, if they were to lose here, they're staring at 0-4. And I know – both you and I kind of think by default this might be the worst team in the NFC. But, you know, I think they're going to play. And is great. I have Reggie Bush on my fantasy team, and I was enthralled with how good he looked. I'm just leery. I debated taking the Lions, but on the road, even having to swallow a couple points, I'm just not too into that. So, once again, I'm wussing out and passing on this one.
Okay, no problem. As far as it goes with that one, Arizona may start 0-4. Well, the first four games of the season are your destiny. Sincerely, 2012.
Yeah,
no question about that. Next one up here, I would have said coming into the season, two worst teams in the NFL. Last week didn't necessarily bear that out. It certainly did for one of them. It's the Jaguars at the Raiders. Jaguars are getting 6 up from 5.5 at the outset. The Raiders looked more than respectable against Indianapolis with a shocking performance from Terrell Pryor. The Jaguars looked as bad as advertised. Having said that, I'm taking the Jaguars in this one. I'll take the points on the road. I just get the sense here, this is so unbelievable to say, but the Jaguars are a much better play because their quarterback got injured. I understand you want to see what you got in Blaine Gabbert just to see one more time that he sucks. Chad Henne's in there. He's had at least a respectable upside in the past. I just got a feeling that the Jags are going to sneak under the number and that this might, it might be a little bit of a letdown for the Raiders, who didn't win the game last week, but it sure feels like a win when you've been sucky as long as they have.
Yeah, I think people are putting too much stock in that close game. Like I said, that's just what happens in an Indianapolis game. I thought the Colts were too big of a favorite in that game last week, given, you know, their point differential from the previous season. And Rick Morris, this game has made my top four this week. It is one of my recommended plays. Let's take the points with the Jacksonville Jaguars this week.
Not
something I'm probably going to say a lot this year, but here's the thing. You already covered them, and you did it very eloquently, with the upgraded quarterback from Blaine Gabbert to Chad Henne. That's one reason to like Jacksonville. As soon as they announced that Gabbert wasn't playing, I immediately was sold on Jacksonville. And here's the other thing. Oakland, just 2 weeks ago, there wasn't a soul who didn't think that this was the worst team in the NFL. They're now laying nearly a touchdown against another NFL team. What, because Terrell Pryor gave a gutty effort? That just seems like an overreaction to the loss. And the line has been bet up as well, too. I know Jacksonville looked awful last week. They scored 2 points. But they're not a historically great team traveling out to the West Coast. But I think there are only 2 wins on the West Coast in the last, 10 years have come against Oakland. The Raiders are historically a dreadful, dreadful team when favored, at least since the days of Rich Gannon. Since he left, I think they're 7-24 the last 31 times they've been favored, something like that. Give me the points with Jacksonville. Anytime you can take points and go against the Raiders, I'm getting involved.
As far as a recommended play goes, I give you credit. I say this not to criticize. I'll give you credit for how much you have in the way of guts. That's one of my core credos. I will not make a recommended play a battle of two crappy teams. To your credit, you are doing that.
No, and it's tough, admittedly. I mean, Jacksonville didn't give you a lot to work with last week, but this is not so much, and you understand this, Ricky, it's not so much a play on Jacksonville as it is a play against Oakland. Should not be favored by this much.
I understand completely. The game that's next up is the one that is getting most of the media attention here this week. It's the Manning Bowl yet again. It's Denver at the New York Giants. And actually, this is one of my three recommended plays, which I didn't know here. It was a little sloppy of me, but you know what? We'll hit this one now, I guess, because since I already started the intro on it, I generally hold these to the end. But Denver is laying 5.5 in this one. It's been pretty much consistent through the week. The Giants last week looking great offensively, albeit some holes in the running game, but had a lot of turnovers. Yeah. That's if you put the asterisk on it, looked great, but with turnovers. The number just seems high to me for whatever reason. I don't know. A lot of times my recommended plays are not dogs, but I'm going to make an exception this week. I'm going to say take the Giants and the 5.5. That's one of my three plays.
Road favorite Ricky going with the home dog. I like where your head's at. You know, I'll be honest. You told me beforehand this was one of your plays, and I was very impressed. I wouldn't have guessed it. And I looked at it, and I debated bumping up to 5 recommended plays this week. The reason the number is where it is because Peyton Manning on a national televised game threw 7 touchdown passes.
Yes, overreaction.
That's why the Giants lost a nationally televised game. Is too much being made out of this running back situation with the Giants? I mean, I know the running game isn't as important as it used to be in the NFL, but you got to have somebody confident back there. I'm wussing out here. I wish I could be with you and recommend the Giants. I agree with you. You know, I would never, you know, road favorites just not my thing. You know that. And Denver's a team that I did think would not win as many games as last year, and one would think that if that's going to be the case, a game like this is probably when they lose. The Giants, you know, they've got to travel to Carolina next week. You know, that's a big revenge game for the Panthers. They don't want to lose this one, so, you know, I'm with you. I would take the point. I'm not going to make an official release, but I would take the point.
Okay, so we agree on that one. Yeah. To me, the marquee game of the week is the Sunday Nighter. Because you and I have agreed.
I think it's
the rivalry of the decade. Yeah, I mean, the whole media puff angle is that it's the Manning Bowl. But the real game of the week is Sunday night. NBC very lucky to have this one. The first of two divisional matchups this year between teams in, yes, it is, the rivalry of the 2010s. It's San Francisco at Seattle. The Niners are getting 2.5 in this one, down from 3 at the outset. I'll just say this. I have the 49ers winning the division. I have the Seahawks making it as a wild card again. And a game like this could be the difference in that. I just think San Francisco comes into the game with a little bit more momentum, what they did last week, and beating a better team than Seattle did. Seattle might have had a little bit of the East Coast hangover. You like to talk about the 1 o'clock games for West Coast teams here. They have to come back across the country. I'm just leaning in a game that could really go either way. I'll take the 49ers and the 2.5 Sunday night.
And this is a recommended play for me. You know which way I'm going. I'm laying the 2. Anytime you can lay less than 3 with Seattle, do it all day long. Here's the thing. San Francisco, yes, they beat a more impressive opponent, but they were at home. It's a team that they met in Green Bay that they match up well with. They do, you know, Seattle, it's strength on strength. You know, a lot of San Francisco's strengths go against Green Bay's weaknesses, which is why they've beat them 3 times in the last year. Seattle does not lose at home. They didn't lose at home all of last year. They were perfect 8-0, and that includes a huge 42-13 win on a Sunday night game over these 49ers. That was with Colin Kaepernick as San Francisco quarterback. So the crowd's just going to be jacked up for this one. A home game, laying less than 3 in prime time. Seattle's not going to let me down. And you talk about, you know, Seattle historically is really bad in those 1 o'clock time spots. I didn't think that 12-7 win last week over Carolina was that bad. They actually moved the ball quite well. They just had some drives stall when they were just out of field goal range. I think they had about 5 drives in that game of 45 yards or more. So it's a little misleading that they only had 12 points. I know Carolina fumbled late with a chance to win the game, but you know, I thought that was a game Seattle could lose. I was not surprised that game was as close as it was. They were also pointing to this game. I'm telling you, Seattle's jacked up. Seahawks, big play this week.
Big play. Okay, we'll be watching
play.
For that one.
Seahawks. I think this is my favorite play of the week, Seahawks.
Okay. The Monday nighter, I know, is a big play for you as well. It's the 0-1 Steelers at the 0-1 Bengals, Cincinnati is laying 7 in this one, up from 6.5 at the open. I cannot possibly believe that you and I would be disagreeing on this one, albeit I know you might be a little bit nervous with laying these points. I am all over the Bengals laying the 7. The Steelers last week, they look like, again, they may be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're going to get Le'Veon Bell back at a certain point around probably a little bit before midseason. But until that point in time, they may be one of the worst teams in the NFL. A lot of us were very, very wrong about them. Cincinnati lost a tight one on the road against a good team. I don't think that says anything bad about them.
No shame there. No shame in
that
loss.
No shame at all. No, you're absolutely right. I look for the Bengals to roll Monday night. I think it's a statement game for a team that's going to win the AFC North this year and maybe by a decent margin.
Yeah, this is my 4th of 4 recommended plays, joining Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Seattle. Cincinnati Bengals, I think this is a terrible matchup for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, one of the things I always say after week one is you can't just overreact. It was just one game. You know, stick where, you know, just because one game went one way doesn't mean you should just tear up what you thought the whole preseason. But I got to say, if there is one team whose stock I would severely downgrade after week one, it would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They looked awful against Tennessee. I sat with my old roommate, Josh. We were watching the DirecTV, and because he was there, we had the Steelers on more than they should have been. And they did nothing. I mean, they were awful. They got 2 points on the opening kickoff because the guy for the Titans was an idiot and screwed up at returning the kick and stepped out and stepped back in. And then they didn't score again until a minute and a half was left in the game. Keep in mind, I know I gave up Tennessee, and I think their defense is going to be better this year under Greg Williams, but the Titans gave the most points in the league last year. This Todd Haley thing is not working, ladies and gentlemen, at all. I think he's going to get fired midseason, Todd Haley.
He may very well.
I'm calling it out. I don't think this is working with Roethlisberger. The Steelers just looked really bad, and don't discount I think the most significant injury in the league this year, so far this year, is the Pouncey, the center for the Steelers. When you lose your center, especially a good one like that, oh boy. And, you know, I know Cincinnati was somehow held out of sack against a what had previously been a maligned Bears offensive line. They're going to get to the quarterback this week. I'm telling you. This is a bad, bad matchup for Pittsburgh. I'm with you. Pittsburgh, the schedule gets easier in the back half, so they could rally, but it's going to be a slow start to the year for them. Lay the points to Cincinnati. Big win. A Monday night home game, too, for a franchise that, you know, I know they've made the playoffs the last 2 years, but they haven't really announced their national presence. This could be that game for them.
How these teams match up, so many check marks appear to go in the Bengals column at this point in time. It may not, again, even be a close one. This may be a real, real humiliation for Pittsburgh. And I agree with you on Haley. He may be not surviving even the first half of the season. We get to my other two recommended plays here for the week. We'll see what your thoughts are on them. We double back to the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. And it is the Chargers 0-1 at the Eagles 1-0. Gumbel and Deardorff on the call for CBS. This is one where, again, maybe this is a smart mark play on my part when I'm looking at everything adding up as it does here. San Diego, again, by your theory, having to go cross-country on a short week against an offense that I think you'd be hard-pressed to match up against if you were on your normal complement of things. If you were riding a bus from D.C. to play Philadelphia, clearly we saw that would be a tough thing to match up against. Under the circumstances, until people solve this Chip Kelly conundrum a little bit more, I just don't think the Chargers have a chance. I'm all over laying the 8 points.
This almost made it for me, Ricky. I'm totally with you. It is a terrible spot for San Diego. West Coast team going east, off a late Monday night football game to boot where they blew a 21-point lead?
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Oof, that's the case with San Diego. I mean, can't blame that one on North Turner, unfortunately. And I think this is a terrible spot. I mean, Chip Kelly, I wish we had more time because what a debut. What a human being this guy is, in my opinion. Eagles have a very realistic shot with this home game and the next week, what will be an emotional atmosphere in the city of brotherly love, welcoming Andy Reid's team back. They have a very realistic shot to start 3-0. They destroyed Washington last week. It was not 33-27 does not do that game justice. It was over before it started. Keep in mind, Washington's only touchdown in the first half was a very, very fortunate one on the defensive end. So Philly looked great. San Diego did what San Diego does, and I see them on the way to a long season. While the Eagles, they're a team I may be upgrading a little bit. We'll see how they play, how this plays out, the Chip Kelly offense. But they're certainly in play in a wide-open NFC East.
Yeah, funny how the upgrade-downgrade game is working different ways at different ends of the state of Pennsylvania right about now.
Yeah.
With the Steelers and the Eagles. Maybe that's a coincidence. It probably is, but it's just funny to note. My 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 2 is a game that matches up the Saints at the Buccaneers. Saints 1-0, Buffalo 1-1. And again, Tampa Bay, one of my huge three plays for last week. Not my lock, but again, they let me down. I learned my lesson about Tampa Bay. This is a team coming apart. This is a team with an internal revolt against their cruddy college head coach. And again, as much as you like to Josh on the show about road favorite Ricky, here he goes again. The Saints are laying 4 up from 3.5 at the open. I'm all over it. They're going to obliterate Tampa maybe by 20 on the road.
I just can't. I can't go with the road. I mean, I will say this. Tampa Bay has problems. And one of the reasons I wasn't as high on them as some others were, as like a potential dark horse playoff candidate, was this coaching staff does not like this quarterback, and I'm not sure the players like this coaching staff. And that's a problem when you're an NFL football team. So, yeah, the only thing is New Orleans, here's what scares me. They're off a huge win, by the way. By the way, I should have pasted. I couldn't find it, though. I looked for it briefly for about 3 minutes, but then I had something else to do. You talk about the gif of the week. How did you not love your boy Rob Ryan celebrating after that big win against the Falcons there when his defense made the goal line stand? This is kind of a tough spot for New Orleans. Playing on the road, laying points after a big emotional win over Atlanta and Peyton's return to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I missed that the first time. I have to sit this one out, but I'll say this. If the Saints win here, I think they've got a couple home games coming up next. One of them is Miami. I don't know who the other one is offhand. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I was looking at it earlier, but, hey, the Saints are a team
Chicago.
I would buy
they're
on
at
as
Chicago.
Anybody. Oh, they're at Chicago?
They're at Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
but they've they've got Arizona before Miami. That's what you were thinking of.
Oh, so it's Arizona. So they're at home versus Arizona and at home versus Miami, right?
Yes, exactly.
So if they win this game, they're very likely 4-0. I mean, this was a team that I was –
yes.
I mean, I don't think anyone was higher on the Saints than I was. I kind of was willing to look past his defense, which does have its fair share of injuries, by the way. They'll – I'd like to say they're definitely going to win, but I can't say that. But road favorite Ricky strikes again in the Falcons' our lock of the week. Road favorite Ricky. So, I do like that game to go over, by the way. I know that neither team scored a ton last week, but the Saints moved the ball a little bit more than 23 points indicate, and their defense obviously is still kind of questionable, even though they kind of rose up to the challenge against Atlanta. So this could be a real high-scoring game
aside from the coaching staff not liking the quarterback and the players not liking the coaching staff, there's complete and total harmony in Tampa Bay right now.
Sure. Tampa Bay is the bloom is off that rose. I'll say that much. Oof.
Tip of the hat to my friend, Tampa Bay area sports journalist Jeff Briscoe, who disagrees with my downgrade of the Bucs this year. Jeff, this one's for you, buddy. But Kyle, once again, another great mini episode today. Thank you very much, my friend. Look forward to killing it with you again next week.
I'll see you then, Ricky.
All right, thanks, my friend. Thank you all for tuning in. FDH Lounge mini episode number 306.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.